The libertarians would say this is not a government problem, this is a personal problem, and people should take individual responsibility for their health and their weight. But when we're talking about problems of obesity, I think, first of all, if you're presenting this as a possible legislative problem, we would have to find out why people are becoming obese or becoming more obese now than they were, 25, 50 years ago. What is the problem? The obesity is a symptom of something, and I'm not sure what it is. And I wouldn't want the state government to try to fix something unless we had a whole lot more information.
Okay, I will go down with Mandy and continue in that direction.
This is a situation where I'd like to see the focus more on education than legislation. From my perspective as a teacher, I can tell you that we've made a lot of progress. We just got a federal PEP grant, which allowed the school district to significantly improve their programming for physical education. I also think we can do things on the community level. There are significant improvements being made in our bike and pedestrian paths, and I'd like to see that improve even more because it leads to a stronger, healthier, more welcoming community. Personally, I approximately 3 years ago went in for a health risk assessment. It was provided free of charge through my job, and I did not realize just how heavy I had become. That was a turning point in my life because when I found out just what was happening with my health and the health risk factors, including diabetes and heart disease, I took it upon myself to change my diet, to change my exercise regimen, and lost a significant amount of weight over the course of about 2 years. I think it's a great example for what we could be doing for other people because I think a lot of people in our community simply don't realize just how unhealthy they are. And need to understand the implications of their health choices. So I would like to see a focus on education and prevention, and I certainly would like to hear more ideas about how we can tackle this difficult issue.
Thank you. Pat?
Well, I know that I have a problem with obesity myself when I was at the beach and two kids came up and said, hurry, let's push it back in before it dies. But in any case, I am for the educational part, especially when it comes to parents. You know, we talk about healthy choices, which are so important. But in this lifestyle we've suddenly become, when our kids are in sports, in activities, and we're running, I hate to say it, at least in my family, we got a little lazy. It was easy to run through a McDonald's or a fast food establishment and have dinner late. So really the burden was more on us, the parents. You know, we didn't go the extra mile maybe and make the meal at home. It was convenience. I think we have to reach out to parents to be able to get more involved in making their menu selections and providing the dinner. But I do think that as far as legislation goes, we can be the ones that educate, especially in the schools. And also physical education, I was glad to hear that some activity is going to that point because I remember when I was in school, we had to like climb a rope to the ceiling. We were doing things that were incredible. The presidential fitness, get that award from the president, those type of things. And I think if we got our kids a little bit more active, maybe they would follow into a routine of exercise because I noticed really when I noticed my weight gain was my late 20s. And they always say it's the freshman 15, too, when you go into college. So education, but I don't like the mandate part when it comes to government.
Thank you. Paul?
Yes, I would echo Mandy and Pat when they talk about education. I think that's important. And, of course, we're talking about this issue at a time when we have some controversial new lunch guidelines at school, which you guys have probably heard about. And I'm a school board member, and last night we had a school board meeting, and we had some angry parents there. The discussion was, and where I would agree with some of the parents that were upset, it seems to be a one-size-fits-all policy right now. I think it was extremely well-intentioned, but you do have high school athletes that don't feel they're getting enough caloric intake to get them through practice. And I think that that's okay. We're going to work our way through this eventually, and we're going to come to a good solution. But at the outset of programs like this, every once in a while, government can appear a little bit clumsy, and it appears a little bit clumsy right now. But with the argument that I've heard over these new lunch standards, I don't think is a winning argument. The argument goes something like this. My kids are my kids. I should have a right to get them whatever kind of food they want at school. That is still true. You can send your kids the worst lunch you can possibly imagine in a brown paper bag. But if the government is providing the food, it's not an infringement of your freedom if the government provides you healthy food. So I think that there is a role for government to play. We have public programs like the school lunch program. They should be providing healthy food. Instead of a chicken McNugget platter covered in batter, we should be giving them something healthier than that.
Thank you. Elizabeth?
Talking about prevention, I think it is multi-pronged. I think government has a role, and I think, of course, individuals have a role as well. And in schools, the lunch program is one thing. But I think it's really difficult to improve health care unless we improve our food system and the way we grow food, which brings up a whole host and the kinds of food we grow. And that brings up a whole host of issues that are not really related to this. But I think that certainly with the huge cuts to education that we've seen in Wisconsin, what you see is the elimination of recess, the elimination of gym class, and things that are important for physical fitness. So we need to be able to bring those back. And I also think at the school level, we do teaching on eating disorders and what to watch out for as far as anorexia and bulimia, but nobody talks about basic overeating in school education programs, or if they do, I have not seen that. I think that we need to approach our insurance providers, public and private insurance entities, and have them pick up some of the burden of prevention and education. There's a condition that in healthcare we refer to as diabesity. Because obesity is a huge factor for type 2 diabetes, and kids are getting type 2 diabetes at, you know, 6-7 years old these days. And type 1 diabetes used to be specifically called juvenile diabetes. And so I think we need to look at our food systems as well as our health systems in order to address this.
Okay, thank you. And Dennis?
I recall President John Kennedy emphasizing physical activity, physical fitness in schools back in the early 1960s. And Pat's right. When I was in school, I remember having to do all these things. It was constant activity during gym class. I don't know what they're doing now, but I do know that we as parents also have a responsibility. When our children are home, let's admit it, folks, most of the time they're in front of the TV with the Xbox or whatever video game system they have, and that's their life. We need to, as a family, get them involved in physical activity. Go for a walk, play a sport, take a basketball out, shoot some hoops, throw a football around or a baseball. So there's responsibility in all angles here. And government does have somewhat of a responsibility to help out. But I don't believe that the problem lies with the government. I believe it lies with all of us in our personal lives and how we decide to live those lives. We have to think of our children. I know I woefully lacked in a number of areas as a parent when my kids were growing up. And fortunately, they turned out okay. But I do see some things that I would have done differently. We need more physical activity for our children, more brain activity for our children, rather than just mindless video games and television.
Thank you. Turn back to Sue.
Children at schools with farm-to-school programs are more likely to eat fruit and vegetables at lunch. So the second question is, do you believe that the state of Wisconsin should provide more funding to local communities for farm-to-school efforts?
Let's begin with Pat Snyder, and then we'll come towards me. Mandy next.
Well, this is a... before I left the radio, I had talked with someone from, I believe, the Marshfield area about this farm-to-school program. It is intriguing. As far as the funding goes, if a school district would, instead of using funds to purchase from where they get their food, would rather turn it to this, then I'd be all for it, local control and their decision to make that. I do know it's a healthier choice, and I do know that they've had some early success with that. But this would be an area, I think, that definitely would be willing to explore with fellow legislators and see if it would provide the healthy alternative.
Andy?
First of all, I think it's important to support our local agriculture and local farmers. I'm meeting farmers all the time who are telling me that they can't make a living running the family farm anymore. So I think this could be really excellent for helping small farms in dairy, beef, all sorts of different commodities to really have a better market. I also, since I'm in the schools every day, I actually eat school lunch, lo and behold. especially on the campaign trail, I just don't have time to make my lunch these days. So I know that in the schools, they work very hard to make sure that those lunches are healthy, but they are prepackaged foods. And we could clearly do better in providing nutrition to our children, especially when we know that over half of the students in the Wausau School District now qualify for free and reduced lunch. Many of those children come in for breakfast with the school. If that's the majority of their nutritional intake, we really need to do a better job, because the food that we are providing is not the most nutritious we can provide. And we can do better. We are in the middle of Wisconsin. We are known for our agriculture. So this is an obvious thing that we should really work very hard on. I'm also a member of community-supported agriculture, and that is a farm where you buy in at the beginning of the year, and then you receive a share of the produce every week. And that has made my family significantly healthier. I think it is something we should explore. I've also worked with friends of mine have written the farm-to-school program in Athens and implemented it. So I know that there are good models close by, and I know that we can work together to overcome any obstacles to make sure that this benefits our local economy and our kids.
Thank you. Jim?
I'm not real familiar with this farm-to-school programs, but I do think that I do support local control and grassroots control over what happens into our schools rather than the mandates from the Department of Agriculture or State of Wisconsin. I'm not sure if Wisconsin would divert support from some other program to go to the farm-to-school programs or not. I would still need some more information on that, but I think local control is what I would support.
Thank you. Dennis?
I think this is a great program on a number of levels, as Pat said. First of all, we're looking to create jobs in this state, and this is an excellent opportunity to do that. If we produce our food for our children at school locally, farmers will be producing more and more diverse crops to provide to the schools. So they will expand their business. In expanding their business, they will need to hire people. They use equipment on their farms. Someone will need to maintain that equipment. It's just the natural cycle of keeping the economy going, creating jobs, and making our kids healthy is the top priority here, obviously. But there are a number of things here at a number of levels that are nothing but good that I see in this program.
Okay, Elizabeth.
I agree with most of everything that's been said. I think I, too, was a member of a CSA, and it does, it actually, when I got about the fifth head of cabbage and thought to myself, what tasty treat can I concoct tonight? And actually roasted, oven-roasted cabbage is not bad. Anyway, we do need to have healthier food in our schools. My children, we packed lunches for them, or when they got old enough, they packed their own lunches, mostly because my husband is sort of a health nut, nothing but sinew. But one of the things that concerns me is genetically modified foods. And so I think that if we had more action with CSAs and local farmers, we perhaps wouldn't run into as many genetically modified foods as we have now. There are also other things we can do. I know we have a very short growing season here in Wisconsin, but rooftop gardens on some of our schools might be a good idea. There are all kinds of things we can explore with greenhouses that would then combine all kinds of different life lessons or coursework that students can actually have hands-on experience with where food comes from and the science behind agriculture. So I think that we could do a lot better with our schools and the lunches we serve.
It was definitely a good year for kale.
I like what Elizabeth said. I like what she said in the last answer about the types of foods and how we raise our foods, too. When I was 26, I suffered a stroke, and I'm not a dietitian, but I certainly concentrated a lot more on my diet after I had my stroke. I was in pretty good shape when I had it, but I became very aware of the amount of processed food we eat, and how little actual real food we eat, and how little whole grains we eat. So going back just a little bit and talking about the role of government, I find it very beneficial when I'm shopping that I can look for a very visible label saying that this is a whole grain product, and that I can feed my kids that whole grain product. I think that's important. But playing off what Elizabeth said, I'm the school board member at a school in Granton, which is a very small town. But we've gone beyond farm to school, and we've gone to school to school. I was the chairman of our green team's garden committee. Now, this is not an Agenda 21 thing, but we did have a green team garden committee where we started our own school garden, and it was a full-acre garden. Kids were able to plant their own vegetables. They were able to raise their own vegetables. In the fall, they could come out and harvest them, and we had classes that were raising watermelon. They get to eat the watermelon, so they actually they participated in the whole process. I think this is a very good idea, and it's something that some schools in our area, I believe Pittsville already has a grant to do more farm-to-school types of things. But again, I think we need to get more whole foods in front of our kids, more whole grains, more vegetables, and have them actually take some ownership of raising the vegetables themselves. It's great coursework, by the way.
Thank you. We do have time for one more question on obesity, but I want to remind the audience that following this question and answer, we will have time for your question and answer. So if you're looking to ask a candidate a question, please raise your hand so you can get a card, and then you'll be able to submit that question. So we'll go to the third question.
The rising costs of preventable diseases threaten our health, businesses, communities, and livelihood. Do you think that the state of Wisconsin should create an obesity prevention fund? And if so, how would it be funded?
Let's start with Paul today. This time.
Again, I think you're going to get some hesitancy from people on how we should fund it, but I think it's very clear when you look at all the reports and data that obesity is a problem, and we need to do something about it. And I think how we can fund such a program, I think you're seeing more and more public-private partnerships and foundations fundraising, community-based fundraising, to get the word out. I think that's one avenue we can look at. If we find we're making great strides in tobacco prevention, for instance, down the road, possibly we can reallocate some of that money for obesity prevention. But again, I think you're going to get hesitancy from people saying that we need to raise taxes in order to fund an obesity prevention fund.
Thank you. Pat?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. The fact of the matter is I do think that private industry insurance can help motivate the individuals. GreenHeck Fan, they have a new medical staff coming with a gymnasium inside, part of their preventative type of health care, to reach out to get people a little bit more involved on taking care of themselves. I think as well, insurance companies, I have a friend who is called the Vegetable Box, and he gets a case of vegetables every month, and his insurance company gives him a tax credit for that. So his rates go down. And I think that if insurance said, you know what, if you got your weight down to your normal level, Pat, we would take $100 or $200 off of your money that you pay, your policy. Those type of motivations would hopefully work toward getting us to change our lifestyle a bit. Because when a fund like this comes, how do we tax it? Where do we get the money from? It would have a long discussion. But I do think if we go to the private sector and challenge people to be responsible for themselves, that's the best bet.
Thank you. Mandy?
I agree with my opponent's proposals. I wouldn't actually rule out creating an obesity prevention fund, but I do think we should build on the existing structures that we already have. And the strongest existing structure we already have is our public school system. In this past biennial budget, we did cut $1.6 billion to our public schools. If we want to be innovative, if we want to increase and improve our programming, we need to make sure that our schools have the resources to address this anything that comes up, particularly health-wise. With these cuts, we are probably going to be looking at cuts to programs like music and Phi-Ed. I'm not sure how we will be able to sustain funding for after-school programming, our sports, and many other things that right now our schools do a lot. On the other hand, according to the information you gave us, childhood obesity rates have tripled over the past 30 years. So just doing things the way we have status quo isn't enough. We need to do more. Healthy minds and healthy bodies go together. As a sixth grade teacher, I have many of those kids for 90 minutes a day. And I know that sitting in a chair for 90 minutes a day simply is not healthy for those kids. I try really hard to find creative ways to have them pass in their papers, or sometimes we get up and do a little yoga break, or sometimes we go for a walk, or just if, you know, there are kids who really cannot sit in a chair for more than 5 minutes, honestly. So I really look for ways to help them be active and yet learning. On the other hand, that's not enough. We need to structure programs so that we are sure that kids are getting the physical activity that they need, the nutrition that they need, and so that we do prevent obesity in a systemic way.
We are approaching the 90-minute mark, and the candidates are doing very well, staying in their seats. Thank you. Jim?
Well, for libertarians, the sign of a civilized society is the use of persuasion rather than force. And so I agree with Mandy that the schools should have an important role on teaching healthy lifestyles and healthy eating, and as should, I think, healthy Marathon County organization should be involved with education and persuasion. Rather than have a state program for this, I would prefer that the state stop doing some things like stop banning the sale of raw milk, which is a perfect healthy food, which improves cholesterol levels, enzymes, vitamins and minerals. And in Wisconsin, even though we're the dairy state, the state government prevents small farmers from selling it to consumers who want to purchase it from them right on their farm, just like they do fresh eggs. So I think that that's a crazy law, and it reminds me of the saying from Harry Brown, who was a libertarian presidential candidate a few years ago, that the way government works, they break your legs, and then you hand people a crutch and say, see, without me, you wouldn't be able to walk. And the government creates a problem for people, and then we look for a program to fix it. And so I think we need fewer laws in Wisconsin, and I would especially be interested in getting rid of that that raw milk ban.
Thank you, Dennis.
Well, I think that a number of things that we've just talked about here while talking about the obesity problem can be carried out and not necessarily at a high cost. We already have physical education in our schools. We already have health classes in our schools. We need to emphasize the this problem more. We need to get parents involved. We need to get people in the PTA involved in getting parents out in the community, getting their kids more active, providing more healthy foods for their children. The farm-to-school program is an excellent way of reinforcing that when the kids come to school. And I know, you know, when kids learn something in school, it's been a while since I still have one at school, I should say. But when they learn something in school, they like to come home and tell everybody about it. And maybe we should be listening to our kids a little bit more and do a little more activity with them. Get out and walk, hike, snowshoe, like I think Mandy does. Get out and do some things, shoot hoops. Like I said, there are a number of things out there that we can do without any funding. But this is definitely something that could be looked at.